Well, we are going now to look into a new chapter. And this subject is on us being servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Let's look at the whole new approach on this matter of how what it means to serve the Lord. And our heart's desire is, of course, to serve the Lord. And we really, really thank God for all who are serving the Lord at Bethany. We thank God for all who are leaders, the session members, the Sunday school teachers, the people who work in the kitchen, the people who are behind backing us up, the custodial work, you name it. Thank God for every single one who served the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul says to the people, let a man so consider us. Right? First, the problem here at this point of time is that there were some who even not willing to consider that Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, let alone other things. They queried his apostleship, they queried so many things about him, but Paul makes a defense and he says, let a man so consider us, there will be Paul and his team, that we are servants of Christ. Not only that, but stewards of the mysteries of God. And he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Well, this was Paul understanding and reading the situation correctly. And he knew what it was like. The people queried Paul and his team members. Because of Paul, they queried his whole team. And did they regard them as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ? Frankly, some did not. And so Paul made a defense of the fact that he is truly a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in a general understanding, how did Paul see himself as one who served the Lord? And every believer sees that way, that says the same thing. But more than that, Paul saw himself as a bond slave, a doulos, a bond slave of God. And consistently, he maintains that he is but a servant of God, a bond slave of God at all times. But Paul went further to talk about how he was not just offering God in general service, but he was actually a steward of the mysteries of God. Now, that is a different category. It's a different area. It's a different feature entirely. So a person can be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ without being a steward of the mysteries of God. That is a very specialized area of service, right? So a person can serve the Lord Jesus Christ in many different ways, in humble, simple ways, whatever he can, all that he can do, he can be serving the Lord. But to become a steward of the mysteries of God, that is a different thing because it requires a calling, it requires an equipping, it requires skill, it requires the spiritual gifts from the Lord to be able to do this effectively. But most of all, Paul wrote, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And that is vital. Right? So the basic requirement of all who are stewards of God, those who are entrusted with the ministry, with the mystery of the Word of God, and they must be found faithful. Faithful to God, faithful to the Word, faithful in the preaching and the teaching of the Lord's Word. And this is absolutely important thing to consider. But what was the problem in this particular context? And the answer here is that Paul was basically being judged by people. There were people who did not consider him as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, let alone an apostle. So Paul was not afraid of this big challenge. And so he says, let's begin here. What does it mean to be a servant of Christ? Faithfulness must be the hallmark. What was required for a person to become a teacher or a person who will be there, who is a steward of the mysteries of God? He must be found faithful. And that is vital. Right? So he says that went on further. With me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. for that matter, by a human court. Right? Then why was Paul saying that? Because he was being judged. There were some who might even who were even thinking of setting up a court just to try Paul, to see whether he is a false teacher or something like that. And Paul says, I am not afraid. It is a very small thing. You want to judge me? Go ahead. Right? Let's pick up the most basic of all, faithfulness. And Paul was willing to let his life be examined. Whether or not he is faithful, it becomes very obvious. Whether or not he is a steward of the mysteries of God, it's also just as clearly obvious. You can examine his writings. You can examine those who have been taught by him. You can examine him personally. And he says it is nothing to be judged by them in any way. Or for that matter, if he's hauled up in court, he will be happy to represent himself and to explain why he calls himself a servant of God. He says, I don't judge myself. I am just simply a servant of God. I don't tell myself I'm good or I'm bad. I just want to be that servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to be found faithful as I serve the Lord Jesus. That is all that he was concerned about. Right? But when he went on further, he talks about how these things are. And this is important for us to say, look at Paul's example. He says, I check myself. Right? I don't even judge myself. But if I have to, let me check. What should I be looking at? Right? This is very important. I know of nothing against myself. Meaning to say, was he ever a thief? No. Was he a violent person? No. Did he have a criminal record? No. Did he say a lot of bad things against people falsely? No. So Paul says, I know nothing against myself. So if I'm very honest, I will check myself. But if I check myself, I find nothing. And I am all I am over here. I am a servant of the Lord Jesus, and I am a steward of the mysteries of God, and I am a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. That's it. Right? And yet Paul says, even if I judge myself and acquit myself, I am not justified by this. In other words, I cannot justify myself. Because I can be very kind to myself, I can applaud myself, I can pat myself on the back, but it says that's not fitting, that's not going to work. So am I being justified by taking this route? And the answer is no. So he appeals. Though if you want to look at who is going to judge, and the answer is, it is the Lord himself who is going to judge. I think that would be a very great challenge to consider. How do we see this? Right? So as we look at this matter of being judged, and Paul talks about these things here, and he was being judged, he was being compared with, people were querying his credibility, people were concerned about a lot of things, but they had big question marks as to whether Paul was a true servant of God or whether he was a true and faithful steward of the mysteries of God. But Paul's advice to them was found in verse 5. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. Why? Because a lot of the people who judge Paul, they really don't know his writings. They don't know his track record. They don't know his history. They don't know his life. They don't know him personally. Right? And yet they were ready to judge. This reminds us of how the Lord Jesus Christ said, do not judge. Matthew 7 verse 1. Because a lot of people were judging Paul, and they have no basis for calling him into question. No basis for judging him at all in any way. But there they were. But Paul had to do this. Because his ministry at Corinth will be undermined if he does not make a strong defense concerning his stewardship, right? Because there were people who were followers of his. There, he was the founder of the church. The congregation will be affected if the founder is found guilty of not being a true servant of God and of not being a faithful steward of the mysteries of God. But Paul insists, right? Judge nothing before the time. What time are we looking at? And Paul challenges us, until the Lord comes. You know, when the Lord comes back, then that will happen. What will the Lord do? Well, he will bring all things to light. The hidden things, the darkness, the counsels of the heart. Right? Now, that's important. Now, those are not easy things to be able to tell. Because when you hear a word of a person, you only see the external. But if you want to look at something that is deep down, something that cannot be easily seen, you will need to have light. A light that must shine to the depth of the interior of the heart. And the only person who has that light is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Paul writes very, very strongly here that he is aware that one day the Lord himself will judge everything, including Paul's life. And he knew it. So he's not trying to say something to scare people off. He's not trying to say something that would defend himself. He's not. This is trying to say that he knows that one day he will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and then light will be utilized. And then we can tell whether a person's life as a servant of God is true or false. So there are a number of things to look for. First, are there hidden things? In other words, did Paul have a hidden theology? Did he have a hidden agenda? Did he have anything that was wrong? What Paul calls is the hidden things of darkness. Well, that's what happens. When people are in the dark, they're not walking in the light. There are always things to hide. And that becomes a problem. So there are wrongdoings to hide. There are wrong thoughts to hide. Their wrong teachings to hide, and they hide behind all of these things here in a veneer of light. But when we take a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ will do when he returns, he will expose everything to the light because he is the light, right? So whatever hidden things there may be of the heart in a darkness, they will all be revealed one day. All right, what else would the Lord do? He will reveal the counsels of the hearts. Right? There were people who were against Paul. There were people who made allegations against him. There were people who wanted to take him down. There were people who challenged his apostleship, even his basic idea of servanthood. All of these things would be questioned. But Paul knew his own heart. He also had glimpses of being able to see the counsels of the hearts of these people who were there. And he knew that many of the people were against him, not because of anything, but sometimes their hearts and their minds were affected by mob thinking, by mob instinct. And people turn against Paul from time to time. This is recorded in the book of Acts. In Acts 16, Paul was thrown into the jail in Philippi. In Thessalonica, Acts 17, Paul was attacked. He managed to escape, right? But there were people who suffered on his behalf. But these were the problems that existed, and Paul knew them. But what caused all of these things here? And Paul knew that it is the hidden counsels of the heart, and they are tainted and tinged with darkness. And because of that, they do the things that they do. So they try to make Paul look bad. They try to make Paul look as if he is a bad servant or even not a servant of Christ at all. And that he was a person who was just not a true or good or faithful steward of the mysteries of God. They were saying all these things. And Paul realized what those things are. Right? So Paul tells them, listen, I'm not looking for praise. I'm not looking for endorsement from anybody. One of these days, when the Lord Jesus comes back, He will bring his light to shine upon all hearts. And then each one will receive his praise from God. If they have done faithfully, they will be praised by God. If they have served well, they will be praised by God. It's not by men's measurement, but by God's. And that must be also our focus. This is how we should serve the Lord. Looking at being faithful, looking at the day when one day God will come back and judge us and he will examine how we have served him. May we be found faithful. May we be found serving the Lord well all the time. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his example of being a servant. Teach us how to follow that example. We think of Paul in serving you faithfully. Lord, move our hearts to serve you faithfully so that we will never need to be afraid of people finding fault with us. We pray that you will teach us how to remain faithful and strong and courageous amidst opposition. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.